You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron, when I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Check out the site now. We got you taken care of. The picks straight up, picks against the spread, sleepers and busts, as well as my signature column every week, Stardom Sit'em there for week five. We also look at a particular game here, Rams-Seahawks, a deep dive into the first game of the week on Thursday Night Football. We broke that game down as well as seven other of the early games through the 1 p.m. Eastern Time window, including our London game between the Jets and the Falcons. You can check that out. That was our Matchup Wednesday show. This is the back half, the sequel to that. So we'll get through the back half of the games all the way through the Bills and Chiefs marquee high-scoring Sunday night game, we hope. And then the Colts-Ravens to wrap things up here on Monday Night Football. So a lot of good stuff to talk about. We got to dive into it and break down those eight back half games here in a moment. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. All right, we'll pick up where we left off with a good one here. The Packers going to the Bengals. Both teams are 3-1. The Packers are slight favorites in this one, 3-point favorites. The over-under is 51.5. That's good news. That means we're going to get some scoring from both sides. Let's start with the Packers because they're the easier side here. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, the Bengals secondary at Chidobe Awuzie could be missing a game. They also had Trey Waynes miss games earlier, but their secondary is questionable. I know they have Trey Hendrickson in the pass rush, and the Packers are dealing with a couple of injuries up front. Elgin Jenkins at left tackle, as well as Josh Myers, their rookie center. So we'll see how that plays out, if that affects the game much. He didn't really become a factor last week against that Steelers pass rush. We know Aaron Rodgers gets to the ball and all that. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. The matchup is really good here. So Davante Adams, really nice spot for him as an elite wide receiver one per usual. Aaron Jones is still battling a bit of an injury there, but he's fine. We saw A.J. Dillon get a few extra carries, but part of that was the game script last week where they were all over the Steelers. Steelers really didn't have a shot in that one. So this one, we expect it to be a lot closer. It is on the road here for the Packers. So I wouldn't want to look at flexing Dillon this week, but I would trust Aaron Jones to have his normal role. So the principles we know, the two Aarons, Rodgers and Jones, Adams always near the top of their rankings at their particular position. Now, do we extend? I'm not going to Robert Tonyan. They're just not throwing the ball enough. Do we look at Randall Cobb? Maybe someone will come through. It's just hard to know who's going to be the next person there. Alan Lazard could be the guy. He's disappeared here despite having Marquez Valdes-Scantling on IR with a hamstring injury. So there's all kinds of things we look at here with the Packers. And really breaking them down here for you, they do have a lot of weapons. It's just incredibly hard to trust what they're going to be doing there beyond their principles here. And that's Rodgers to Adams and Jones for the most part. Jones, we know, can also be a big factor in the passing game when needed. Now, on the Bengals side of things, T. Higgins looks like he'll return from a shoulder injury. He needed the one game plus the short week to recover, so limited practice early, but I expect him to play. Big loss for the Packers defense is Jaire Alexander. So they don't have their shutdown corner. That helps things for Jamar Chase, and it trickles down, right? Because Kevin King is also a little bit banged up there for the Packers, so that's good news for Higgins and Chase on the outside, as well as Tyler Boyd in the slot where the Packers are a bit thin there. So, yeah, start all your Bengals receivers in order. That's how we look at them. Looking at wide receiver 1-2 borderline with both Chase and Higgins, assuming Higgins plays, and Tyler Boyd right in there as solid wide receiver 3 production. I also think the Bengals are going to throw a little bit more this week with Joe Mixon day-to-day with an ankle injury. He hasn't practiced early. The week doesn't look good. It's Samaje Perine, but I'm a little bit concerned that the game script could go negatively here, where it's Chris Evans, the rookie, because he's a little slightly better pass catcher here. So I think it's going to be more of a committee approach. Perine is going to get majority of the touches and the key ones maybe near the goal line to replace Mixon if those situations would arise. But when you look at this overall, I think you're looking at a pass-happy game, no matter how you look at it, for Joe Burrow, either by not having the running game reliable or just the nature of the matchup, not worrying about any really dominant corners, anything to stop his wide receiver. So they're going to spread it, be aggressive, get all those three guys involved. I love Joe Burrow this week. He's going to crush it. So good matchup overall for all the principles that you're looking for in fantasy football, except we're not playing the defenses. We tried to stream both of these teams last week. A little bit more success with the Packers against the Steelers and the Bengals against the Jaguars, but not in this matchup with those two fine quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers has been the class of this league for a long time. Joe Burrow is getting there, and it's a good game for the Packers to be tested. I think the Packers will ultimately win and cover that three spread, basically a negligible amount there. So I do like them to play well, but I think there are going to be a lot of points in this game for sure to live up to those shootout expectations. All right, we'll go to the next game, which won't be a shootout. This has got 12 points less. 39.5 is the over-under. The Patriots are 8.5-point road favorites at the Texans. So interesting battle here. Nick Caserio is kind of the guy making the personnel decisions for Houston. And he worked for Bill Belichick in New England. We know all that. The personnel, however, in Houston is really bad at this point. The Patriots looking better. If you need to stream Mac Jones again, 250-2. He shredded a pretty good pass defense that was dwindling last week because of injuries. The Texans are a mess to begin with. So I do like Jones being pretty productive in this game. They're not going to have to throw a lot. They'll probably go back to their game plan. They abandoned that against the Bucs just because the matchup wasn't worth it. But Damian Harris should get back on track in this one for sure. He's a strong RB2. I like Jacoby Myers. If I'm going to start any of the Patriots receivers, I'm going with the guy that's the easy the throw over the middle, short passes there, and that's Myers. He was not going to get your touchdown because he never scores, but definitely he's the play over Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne if you're looking for a wide receiver three or flex from Patriots. At tight end, I think you can look at Jonas Smith and Hunter Henry. They both scored last week. They used them properly, so a lot of that could happen. Get them out there, run blocking for Damian Harris, slide out in the red zone, score a touchdown. So it would not surprise me again if the two touchdowns that Jones throws this week are one each to Smith and Henry, or maybe one of those guys goes off for a couple, which would be interesting to see. But I think, yeah, they're a little bit more in their groove with their situation at tight end here and the way they want to use them. Again, that's where I'm going, mainly Harris and Myers. And if you really need the tight ends, you can go there that direction as well. The matchup is just too good for Jones and this Patriots offense here. Following a pretty good performance against the Buccaneers. Again, that was a tougher defense than you think. I know they're depleted in the secondary, but the Texans are just kind of worthless hole all around there on that side of the ball. For the Texans, yeah, we'll just hope we get the best out of Brandon Cooks. The running game has just been completely demolished here between Mark Ingram and David Johnson and Phillip Lindsay. There's nothing to see there. Davis Mills has looked awful. The Patriots defense can kill it this week, so bad matchup for them last week. They still look pretty good against the Buccaneers, even though they didn't force a lot of any turnovers or get a lot of sacks. So you know they're going to play really well against the Texans and Davis Mills. It's a rookie quarterback versus Bill Belichick. So Brandon Cooks, the former Patriot, it is a revenge game for him. Let's hope he can get some garbage points because we know if they're going to take one thing away from Mills, it'll be him. But then again, they could just ease off and just realize, look, they can have Cooks. We're going to blow this game away. Cooks might have more garbage opportunities in this game as well. All right, so those are the first two games we're going to talk about in the back half of the schedule here on week 5. We still have 6 more to talk about all the way through Monday Night Football. This episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why should you spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership when you know Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer? And you have anything that you could need there at RockAuto.com. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, and how did they hear about us? Box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. You can find them at RockAuto.com. LockedOnFantasy.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free, available on all platforms, and we have to continue the show looking at more games from week number 5. This one's intriguing. The Bears are at the Raiders. 5.5, the Raiders are favored by. They just lost last week. The Chargers to fall to 3-1. The Bears are 2-2. The over-under is 44.5. We found out before this broadcast or recording, whatever you want to call it, that Justin Fields is going to be starting for the rest of the season. So no more dance by Matt Nagy. Andy Dalton is healthy enough to play, but it is Justin Fields' team. Finally, no question about it. We can just be happy and roll on with that. So good matchup for him this week. Their good win last week against the Lions. Did struggle a little bit, and they had David Montgomery do things on the ground. But Montgomery's not going to be available. It's going to be Damian Williams. Great plug and play there. Williams has looked good and scored and done some important things. We know he was a super sub with the Chiefs. He can do that again with the Bears, with Matt Nagy's system very familiar, dating back to Andy Reid. So, yes, Justin Fields, I like to rebound here. And, again, he could make some mistakes, but we definitely like his chances here with the Allen Robinson is going to get a little bit more warmed up. Darnell Mooney, that connection is real. So Darnell Mooney I like as a wide receiver 3 this week. Allen Robinson reluctantly also playing as a wide receiver 3. You've got to see a little bit more chemistry between him and Fields. But if things were opened up, Mooney and the Raiders defense might have some pressure against him. But let's see some running from Justin Fields as well to open things up, extend plays, get the ball downfield. But we're fine with Fields and Mooney, so Mooney has to clock in as wide receiver 3 in this particular matchup. The Raiders' corners are banged up. Trayvon Mullen Jr., Damon Arnette, Nate Hobbs a little hobbled as well. So all the way through the nickel package, there's something to be had there. So good news for Robinson and Mooney as wide receiver 3s. That's all we can go with, not knowing exactly what they're going to do with Fields. And also, there's nobody else catching passes for this team. So that really helps those guys' causes as well as the big arm of Fields and not having Devin Montgomery, so maybe we can get some passing touchdowns out of the mix. And Damian Williams, a fine plug-and-play as an RB2, replacing Montgomery this week. You're not going to play the Bears' defense on the road against the Raiders, who can be a lot better at home scoring points. Raiders' defense has some appeal again, because you can get some sacks and maybe a turnover, despite Fields playing well and producing in other areas. Now, for the Raiders, this pass defense is pretty tough for the Bears, but I think Derek Carr can navigate it pretty well. Khalil Mack has a revenge game. I don't love Derek Carr. I'm not going to bang the table and say he's a must-start this week. No, I think he can fall easily out of the top 12 with a lot of great quarterbacks having good matchups here. So, yeah, I'm going to pump the brakes as much as possible unless you're desperate or you're just playing in Superflex or 2QB leagues. Then you can look to Carr. Josh Jacobs will monitor that. He didn't look very good returning from his ankle injury last week. Peyton Barber, however, is now on the shelf as well. He got hurt there last week in the loss against the Chargers. So, yeah, could go back to Kenyon Drake by default. We'll watch that carefully. But I would expect right now Jacobs to play. But how effective he'll be against his Bears front, that is another story. So I'm going to avoid the Raiders' backfield if at all possible. Darren Waller locked in at tight end every week as an elite option in the top 3. At wide receiver, I wouldn't go there except for Hunter Renfro. The Raiders can work the slot quite well. I just don't trust Henry Ruggs or Bryan Edwards to get enough looks from Carr. But Renfro seems to always be involved in the middle of the field, short to intermediate guy playing well off Waller. So those are two Raiders I would look at. Renfro is more as a deep league flex slash wide receiver 3. They're Waller elite tight end 1. And Derek Carr, if you need him, I think you play him in deeper leagues, but not in shallow leagues, not at all here this week. And don't forget about that. Raiders defense have an impact, and watch out for that backfield between Jacobs, Barber, and Drake going into this game. The next game we'll talk about is the Browns Chargers. The Chargers are actually 2-point home favorites in this one. Both teams are 3-1. 46.5 is the over under. Now, with this game, the Browns, I think they're going to be all about the running backs, but they always are always about the running backs. Baker Mayfield really struggling to get things downfield. This Chargers secondary playing fantastic. May get Chris Harris Jr. at full speed this week, on top of having Michael Davis and the rookie Asante Samuel Jr. on the outside. He's playing really well here. Chargers are pretty good, we know, at safety with Derwin James, but they give up some numbers to the tight end there. So that's all I'm looking for. Austin Hooper in deeper leagues, you look there. Odell is just not a guy I can trust against this secondary. You saw a big opportunity last week. He squandered that. Something is off just with him and Baker Mayfield. So not looking at Mayfield or Beckham in this one. I think it's all about Chubb and Hunt. They've been a great duo here. Chargers really vulnerable against the run. That's how you attack them most. You don't try to put it up in the air against Joey Bosa and their pass rush and the secondary players I kind of mentioned there. So, again, Browns have to win on the ground this week, and that's what I expect. So, Chubb, let's get him rolling here. Hunt has been cutting into a lot of what he does. Hunt is definitely a high-end RB2 every week at this point. Chubb can get going as an RB1 in this particular game. The Chargers also missing Kenneth Murray in their front seven, the outstanding young linebacker. So they're wilting up front. You can run them. They're built better to rush the passer with their speed and athleticism there. Now for the Chargers, I can't say I love this matchup, but you do have some injuries there for the Browns. Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome, their fine rookie first-rounder, are hurting a little bit, so maybe some opportunities for these receivers. But they were very quiet last week. With Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, it was about the tight ends. It was a lot about Austin Eckler. This game is still going to be a lot about Eckler. The Chargers could face a tough pass rush here. We'll see if Javion Clowney plays with his elbow injury. But you got Clowney and Myles Garrett. This offensive line, great test for them. You've had the first-round pick Rashawn Slater play very well for the Chargers, shutting down everything. So good battles up front here. But I don't expect a lot of passing success for the Chargers. I think the Browns also will grind things out, try to play battle of attrition and control the clock in this game. So not a lot out there for Chargers. So Justin Herbert's more of a back-end QB1 this week. Keenan Allen is more of a wide receiver 2. Mike Williams drops to wide receiver 3. Eckler still locked in as a top RB1 with his usage in the passing game in the red zone. Now, defensively, Baker has struggled. The Chargers have been okay, so you could go in that direction. The total's low enough where if you want to play that, or the Browns' defense, either. I mean, I wouldn't expect big things. I don't expect big points in this game, but so they're usable defenses. Would I go there? Not necessarily. I might look for a higher upside than trying to invest in this Cleveland-Los Angeles game. The final game we'll talk about in this segment is the Giants and Cowboys as we get into the 4:25. Good stuff here. The Cowboys are 7-point favorites at home. 52 is the over-under, so our next one over 50 here. We only have another game left in our final three that will have this total over 50. But Giants-Cowboys, what can you say? The Cowboys just rolling here. So Amari Cooper will watch his injury. I think this is a bounce-back CeeDee Lamb game. We'll see who James Bradbury tries to cover. If it's Cooper, I think they'd probably put him on Cooper, being the veteran guy, the savvy guy, to try to take him away from Dak Prescott. That would certainly help CeeDee Lamb. Now, if Cooper, for some reason, the hamstring becomes an issue, he doesn't play, then CeeDee is probably going to see a lot of James Bradbury. That's not good here for his chances. So we want to see them warm up. But Dalton Schultz, I really like. He's getting it done at tight end. The Giants are pretty giving at that position. They lost Blake Martinez at inside linebacker. Also, Jabril Peppers at safety is banged up here. So middle of the field open a little there. So Dalton Schultz is going to be targeted quite a bit and used well in the red zone here for Dak Prescott. Prescott locked in as a top half QB1 this week. And Amari Cooper still looking at him as wide receiver 2, and CeeDee Lamb, that's how you have to look at him at this point, because we know they can go off at any time. And don't be too afraid of Bradbury. They can move these guys around and scheme them open pretty well. Now the backfield, we'll look at Ezekiel Elliott. He's dealing with some knee soreness, so he's been kept out of practice early in the week. We'll see if he gets in a limited session at some point, Thursday or Friday. If that's the case, then Ezekiel Elliott is fully in your lineup. Now, a lot of you, I think, if you followed my advice, you got Tony Pollard behind Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe it was frustrating when both of those guys were going off in week two together. But when you look at the situation, it might actually help. If you've got Pollard or Elliott, if one guy misses the game, it's really going to help your chances to put up big, big numbers here. Elliott's already been doing it. I would say right now it's precautionary the way they've treated it and talked about it there around Dallas. So nothing to panic about yet, but yet another reason why you should invest premium draft capital on a handcuff here, that especially as clear-cut as Pollard is here for the Cowboys. So again, Zeke plays, he's at home, he's money in the bank as an RB1 there. And if Zeke doesn't play, Tony Pollard, plug and play him, RB1. Money in the bank there. That's how well this Cowboys offense is playing here for sure in 2021. If you want the defense, think about it. But Daniel Jones not turning over the ball like he once did here. But they've got Trayvon Diggs, playmakers, Michael Parsons. Cowboys can still get you the numbers you need there. Now, if the Giants can also get you numbers, it's a 52 over-under. So it's a touchdown spread here. So Daniel Jones, yeah, you can play him. A lot of garbage time opportunities. It didn't really matter to Daniel Jones that Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton were there. He made it work with Kadarius Toney and Kenny Golladay going over 100 yards. And don't forget about John Ross making big plays as well. So Good committee approach by the Giants, finding other wide receivers to play specific roles. It really came through nicely for Jones. Jones is playing really well. Jones is a guy that I'm looking at as a QB1 this week for sure. And you look at Saquon Barkley, he's rolling. He's an RB1. The volume is there. And getting it done in the receiving game as well as the rushing game, scoring touchdowns. We love to see that from Saquon. So RB1 for him in the higher end. Jones backdoor QB1. At wide receiver, I think you could look at Kenny Galladay, but I think Kenny Galladay, his size could actually hurt him a little bit against Trayvon Diggs. So last week, I think what happened was you had DJ Moore. He's a guy that you can move around and scheme and a little bit smaller. Bigger wide receivers, we saw what happened with Mike Evans in week one. Trayvon Diggs really handled him pretty well. So that could really give problems to Galladay. So I'm not sure if I'm forcing Galladay into this lineup this week, if I have better alternatives where he should at wide receiver. So, yeah, with them, Saquon, Daniel Jones there for sure. Galladay, I think, could be wide receiver 3, but not too much. I'm not going Evan Ingram. I'm not trusting Kadarius Toney or anyone else in this receiving core. And Giants defense are keeping him parked on the bench. All right, we will get to 3 more games here in our final segment. But we got to remind you, we're back and better than ever, and all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action of the season. With the new updated site interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, 3 more games to talk about. One more in this 425 window that we really like. The 49ers are 5-point underdogs going to play Arizona. The Cardinals, the total is 50 here, so pretty nice healthy total, but not maybe as high as we'd expect. Part of it is Trey Lance and the volatility and not knowing. But it looks like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to miss the game with his calf injury. So I think Kyle Shanahan was trying to keep it under wraps, but looks like Trey Lance will get his first start here against the Cardinals. So we'll see what he can do. But we know he already has a high running floor, and he's got some weapons here. So we want to see what Trey Lance can do. Let's let him loose. Let's go. See what we can get out of this rookie. We've been hyping him as a guy like Justin Fields, and Fields also becoming full-time starter at the same time. So interesting week. We'll see how those guys play out, and we'll watch them closely. In fantasy football, as rookies this season, but also in the longer term, who works out a little bit better for their team. So a lot of fun there to watch with the 49ers. I think you can play Trey Lance. I mean, the running is there. There's enough people he can throw to. We know he's a pretty good red zone guy as well. So, yeah, you're starting Trey Lance in the back end QB1 there if he's in there. Jimmy Garoppolo not as interested because he's not going to be the running. But, yeah, if you're looking deeper leagues, you can also stream Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, George Kittle battling through his injury. Let's hope he's a little bit more effective. He's had some big games against the Cardinals. He's also disappeared against the Cardinals. They were really bad against the tight end. Now they're very good against the tight end. So temper expectations for George Kittle there this week. I think you look at the secondary. Byron Murphy, who's played really well there on the Cardinals secondary, he's battling a bit of an injury here. So we'll see. I think Deebo Samuel is pretty much the guy you're looking at there as a wide receiver 2 in this game. Kittle. And the backfield, a little tricky. Let's watch Elijah Mitchell if he can return from the shoulder injury this week. Trey Sermon's looked good. The Cards are a little bit vulnerable in run defense, so there's some opportunity there. I'm still side towards Sermon being the guy here. He's the more effective runner overall of late, I think. Really, that's why they drafted him ahead of Mitchell in the first place. They're already second-guessing. It's kind of like a fantasy football manager taking a guy in the 10th round that is okay. He's pretty decent, but we drafted this guy much later. You can't ever regret that too much early there. So the 2 Trey, Sermon, and Lance, I like that combination here. I think the 49ers are going to keep the game competitive and close. That's going to keep the running game relevant here with Sermon, unlike last week. So good stuff overall here, and Lance is going to be very productive, I think, just by piecing together rushing and just enough passing here with the weapons he has. And look, it could be just his running and Deebo and a little bit of Kittle, and he'll be fine in fantasy football here. Let's look at the Cardinals here. Kyler Murray locked in as the top, maybe the top QB on the board this week, but he's just rolling here. Now, DeAndre Hopkins looks like he's over the ribs injury, so he'll be fully healthy to attack this 49ers secondary where more people get hurt. K'Wan Williams was on the shelf last week here. They're just desperate on the back end, so Yeah, I like DeAndre Hopkins. Now, the other receivers, pick your poison. I don't know who's going to get it done. Max Williams, their tight end, is battling a bit of an injury as well. So, again, I can't tell you right now if it's going to be attacking more downfield with AJ Green. The 49ers have been vulnerable on the outside, so there's that. It could be the slot and maybe get Christian Kirk or Rondell Moore involved in different ways. So it's just very hard to predict where Cliff Kingsbury will dictate the action here with his offense. But I think beyond that, they're also looking at the running game. Let's watch Chase Edmonds battling a bit of a shoulder injury. Let's hope he can go. If not, James Conner would see a significant role and maybe be a borderline RB1 with his usage in this game for the Cardinals. So something to watch there. Always handcuff your backs. And Conner was clearly handcuffed to Edmonds, and it was hard there because sometimes you have to pay more if someone thinks they have standalone value in the draft and someone might jump on them. But you got to be aware of that and make those moves. And again, you would have protected yourself if an Edmonds injury happened. So yes, you can in theory start another Cardinals receiver or tight end. It's just hard to know where they're going to go in a particular week. And the 49ers have given them myriad possibilities to exploit here all over the field for Kyler Murray this week. Hopkins, we're happy to see him. He'll be rebounding big time as a wide receiver one this week. All right, the next game we'll go to is the highest total of the week, 56.5. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites in this one, and basically it's a pick 'em game. It's just on the Chiefs field there at Arrowhead Stadium. Why I'm thinking the Chiefs are going to win this game is just simply because Patrick Mahomes didn't like being under 500, came out against the Eagles, took care of stuff there. And the Bills' defense having a lot of injuries here. Matt Milano looks like he'll miss the game here. That's a big loss to maybe try to contain Travis Kelce. We also have their corners and safeties a little bit banged up coming in. Greg Rousseau, their fine pass rusher, the rookie from Miami, is a little bit hurting as well. So the Bills enduring some defensive injuries at the absolute wrong time. That opens things up for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to have both big games at the same time. We needed that from Hill. We need Kelce to get back on track. I think both of those things happened this year or this week. So, again, don't be worried about the Bills' structure there with their secondary. Tyreek Hill, you drop him a little bit, but still elite wide receiver one this week. You look at Travis Kelce, he'll rebound big time as well at tight end here to give you the typical week, especially with Milano out there. And playing at home, Travis Kelce really smashes it. So, yeah, the principle's there. Josh Gordon, I'm going to answer the question now. No. You got to see what he's going to do, see how they use him. They still have Mecole Hardman, some of these other guys. They just simply can't get a peripheral third option going behind Hill and Kelce, and sometimes they don't need to. And I think, again, how I've explained that is that the third option is really the running game with Clyde Edwards-Helaire also passing to him and getting quick passes there. And that's going to also help Edwards-Helaire not having to deal with Milano. This Bills run defense is pretty tough. I don't think Edwards-Helaire is going to get his numbers that way, but maybe a few receptions get open that way to be a decent day. But I think he drops down from RB2 to flex this week there with the Chiefs. I'm not going elsewhere with Darrell Williams or any other receivers, especially with Gordon complicating things. But don't throw Gordon out there. We don't know how many snaps he's going to get. I know there's a lot of buzz about him and what he can do here with Patrick Mahomes, but he's also on the other side of 30. It's been a while since he's really been in the NFL yet again. So again, Josh Gordon, just avoid if you can. Really avoid altogether thinking about Josh Gordon and unless you're really desperate in a deep league here in 2021. Now, the Bills side of things, they're involving a lot more people in their offense, but I think the main parts are going to be Stephon Diggs. Now the running game with Zach Moss. So Zach Moss and Devin Singletary are appealing in this one because the Chiefs' run defense is that bad. Moss is the preferred play there as an RB2 or flex. And in deep leagues, you can look at Singletary in those formats as well. Again, Stephon Diggs can totally crush the Chiefs' secondary here if the injuries continue, including Chevarius Ward at quarterback. So love Stephon Diggs this week to keep it rolling here. Emmanuel Sanders as well can make some big plays there. Former Bronco, he's seen the Chiefs plenty of times and burned them over the years. So I think outside receivers are going to do work here for the Bills. And not a lot of Cole Beasley, but I also like Dawson Knox because he's that field stretcher down the seam here for Buffalo. So Dawson Knox comes in as a back end tight end one for me this week. Diggs among the few rare wide receiver ones per usual. Emmanuel Sanders is a sneaky wide receiver three play this week as they spread the field and work it. And Zach Moss, RB2, and Devin Singletary, flex. When you look at it, not going to play either defense in this game either. With the Bills have played well, but they've also played some shoddy quarterbacks, including Davis Mills and Taylor Heineke and Jacoby Brissett. They're not going to have another shutout against Mahomes. You can avoid that, and they're not going to be enough to give you the points here this week. All right, the final game we'll talk about, the Colts and the Ravens. The Ravens are 7-point favorites. The Colts used to play in Baltimore. The Ravens play there now, so always an emotional night there in Charm City. 46.5 is the over-under. 7 is, again, touchdown spread there for the Ravens with an extra point. All right, I like the Ravens a lot. They're finding their groove here. Being less reliant on the running game, that's the real question mark. I think they'll still go to Latavius Murray there as lead back. Tyson Williams has done enough to be in the doghouse here. We'll see if they activate Le'Veon Bell. That would be an interesting twist here. But yeah, for now, Latavius Murray has to be your plug-and-play RB2, given how well the Ravens run the ball with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, I think we've been waiting for that big, big Lamar Jackson game. I think it comes here potentially here on Monday night. Primetime under lights usually does really well in these situations. The Colts' pass defense has enough holes in it. The Ravens are being very aggressive and throwing downfield with him. Marquise Brown and others, Mark Andrews, could be finally a chance to get him rolling with a big, big game that we've been waiting for at tight end. So Lamar, elite QB1, Mark Andrews, elite option there at tight end this week as usual. Again, running backs, start Murray if you need him, but you can't go anywhere else here with the Ravens. We'll see elsewhere. The wide receivers are a little bit hit or miss here between Sammy Watkins, James Prochet, Devin Duvernay. Some of these other guys they have just not buying it too. But Hollywood Brown, Andrews, and Jackson going there. And if you need Murray, you can go there as well. You can also play the Ravens defense. They get the primetime bump at night. The Colts offensive line is still a bit banged up here. So, again, Ravens have some opportunity for sacks. Good young pass rushers, pretty decent secondary. So, yeah, Ravens at night, good play here defensively. Now, on the other side, avoid the Colts' defense. Carson Wentz, if you're in deeper leagues, you could do a lot worse than Carson Wentz, but more super flex 2 QB, that's where we're playing him. I think he's going to have a good stretch coming up with the Texans around the corner here, but this one is about a middle-of-the-road matchup here for him there. So, not going to go with Wentz in this particular matchup this week. Then we're looking at Jonathan Taylor. He's locked in the Ravens front, a little bit worn down, getting a little older there, so it's going to be a lot of Jonathan Taylor to take pressure off Wentz. You could have some checkdowns also from Wentz to Nyheim Hines. The Ravens game script could put them in that catch-up mode and take Taylor out of the game. He was in the game the whole way because the Colts were in the game and they won the game against the Dolphins. So something to keep in mind there. Let's hope it doesn't get out of hand where Taylor can still get his high heavy involvement that we've seen of late and Frank Reich doesn't deviate from that in this game. If you need a wide receiver, you can look at Michael Pittman, but I don't really like the matchup at all. The Ravens secondary with the healthy people back there, they can contain Michael Pittman. So really, it's the Jonathan Taylor show. That's all we're really going for with the Indianapolis this week against Baltimore. All right, that wraps up our look at the 8 back half games of the Week 5 schedule from a fantasy football perspective. We also did that for the front half. If you missed that, check out the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We're your fantasy football team every day from the Locked On Network. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes and free available on all platforms. Again, we'll close the week tomorrow with our lineup Friday. What we do there is look at all the matchups and find the best DFS values there in DraftKings or FanDuel, whether you're playing cash games or tournaments for the main slate over the weekend, all the injury updates you need to know, and then we'll also have our takeaways from tonight's Rams-Seahawks game there. The important things you need to know coming out of that game. So action-packed, good way to wrap up the week. Thanks so much for spending your Thursday with us and Wednesday as well. Matchup Wednesday, matchup Thursday. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. See you Friday.